विंशत वर्तमानायाम दक्षिणायने शरद ऋतौ अश्विन मासी कृष्ण पक्षे प्रतिपदा तिथौ सोमवारान्वितायाम जम्बूद्वीपे भरत खंडे मेधिभूत सुमेरो दक्षिणे लवणान्वसोत्तरे कोणे गंगायाः पश्चिमे भागे श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण को ब्राह्मण वैष्णव वर्णि सन्निधौ. फर्स्ट आई विल चैंट मंत्र फॉर दिस कपल देन दैट कपल. दिस इज संकल्प मंत्र. श्री राधा कृष्ण शर्मणः पुत्रीं श्रीमती वलिंदा अभिधानमेताम कन्याम सवस्त्रम यथाशक्ति अलंकृतम और आरोगिनीम प्रवासिनीम यथा कालोपस्थापिनीम. नारियल काटून कल समुद्र पानी राधा सिंह को हाथ तू हाथ धो. नहीं नहीं हाथ हाथ That means Radha Krishna Prabhu is giving his daughter in charity and Radha Krishna Prabhu is accepting. Om Swasti Om Narayanay Vidmahe Vasudevaya Dhimahi Tanno Vishnu Prachodayat. Om Mahadeve Cha Vidmahe Vishnu Patne Cha Dhimahi Tanno Lakshmi Prachodayat. Om Trailokya Mohanay Vidmahe Kamadevaya Dhimahi Tanno Lakshmi Prachodayat. Krishna Prabhu. ओम विष्णु ओम तत्सद अद्य ब्रह्मणो द्वितीय प्रार्धे श्वेतवराह कल्पे वैवस्वताख्य मन्वंतरे अष्टविंशति कलियुगस्य प्रथम संध्यायां ब्रह्मविंशत वर्तमानायां दक्षिणायने शरद ऋतौ अश्विन मासी कृष्ण पक्षे सोमवारान्वितायां जम्बूद्वीपे भरत खंडे मेधिभूत सुमेरो दक्षिणे लवणान्वसोत्तरे कोणे गंगाया पश्चिमे भागे श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण को ब्राह्मण वैष्णव वर्णि सन्निधौ. श्री कृष्णाम वर्मणः पुत्रीम श्रीमती एमी अभिधानम एताम कन्याम सवस्त्रम यथा शक्ति अलंकृतम आरोगिनीम प्रवासिनीम यथा कालोपस्थापिनीम. ओम नारायणाय विद्महे वासुदेवाय धीमहि तन्नो विष्णु प्रचोदयात. ओम त्रैलोक्य मोहनाय विद्महे कामदेवाय धीमहि तन्नो विष्णु प्रचोदयात. ओम महादेवे च विद्महे विष्णुपत्ने च धीमहि तन्नो लक्ष्मी प्रचोदयात. ओम जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा. सो इन दिस पाणी ग्रहण विधि पाणी मीन्स हैंड एंड ग्रहण मीन्स टू एक्सेप्ट. So this panigrahan vidhi means taking vows. These are very serious vows, very responsible vows. So all of you are taking vows in the presence of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ji, Sri Gopal ji, Sri Nitai Gaur Chandra, Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, all the assembled devotees, your friends and parents, that I think I will not say separately. TJ, huh? So, TJ, you are accepting Malinda as your wife and you are taking a vow to protect her emotionally, physically, spiritually, and you will remain faithful to her throughout your life. And similarly, Malinda, you also, in the presence of Lord and all his devotees, you are taking a vow that you will remain chaste with him and you will always serve him. Seeing him as a representative of the Lord, you will always serve him very faithfully and respectfully. And similarly, Mark, you are also taking a vow that you are accepting Amy as your wife and you will be protecting her emotionally, physically, spiritually and with respect, and you will protect her. And Amy, you also, you will be serving Mark. You will consider him as a representative of the Lord and serve him faithfully, respectfully, and you will remain chaste to him throughout your life. And these are very responsible vows. You have to follow it throughout your life. Hare Krishna. So now again, please pour the water over their hands. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, we have His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj present amongst us in spite of his busy and hectic schedule. So, it is customary, it is a tradition or custom in Vedic marriage that a senior devotee or from the society, the elderly people are called, then spiritual master is called, and their blessings are sought, their blessings and their guidance. Without their guidance, blessings and words of wisdom, this ceremony cannot be complete. So we have His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj present amongst us. He is a very senior devotee in International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we request him to please guide all of us on this auspicious occasion. Hare Krishna.
Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmahi Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamayam Dadati svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vithamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Deve Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Someone tell them to stop hammering. We are very honored and grateful that you have chosen this most important and sacred ceremony of your life to be held here at our temple. Thank you very much. In Vedic ceremonies, a mantra is chanted, Om apavitra pavitro va sarvabhastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabhayabhyantara suchi. In essence, this reveals to us that the purpose of human life is to purify our hearts. There is a beautiful verse, Nitya Siddha, Nitya Prema, Krishna Bodhi, that love for God is within the heart of every living being. And in that love for God, it includes every living being. When you love the whole, you love every part naturally, spontaneously. This, the perfection of samadhi, is to awaken that divine love that is within us and to be an instrument of that love in every aspect of our life. In the sixth chapter of Gita, Krishna explains the Ashtanga Yoga system, and he concludes that chapter, Yoginam api sarvesham madgitein antaratmana shravan bhajateyo mam sameyuktatame mata. That one who awakens that divine love within is most perfect among yogis and is most intimately connected to the Supreme through that yoga. Mark and Amy, TJ and Melinda, as far as I know about your histories, you were brought together very much through your practice of yoga. Yes? Yoga means to bring together. It means to harmonize, to unite. Ultimately, the union of the individual soul with the Supreme Soul. Bhakti, we believe that we become one with the Supreme through our love. Where there is unmotivated, unconditional love, two people become one in spirit, one in essence. Today's marriage ceremony, once again, you are being brought together on another level through yoga. In our spiritual principle, marriage is a sacred event that is to be taken as a priority above everything else. For a marriage to work in this world is very difficult. In fact, anything great is difficult. Cheap things come easy. Yes? If you want a cheap relationship, then everything will be easy. But when it becomes difficult, then the relationship is broken. But if we really want our relationship to have deep substance, deep meaning, and deep fulfillment, difficulties have to be endured. And how do we do that? From the day of marriage and throughout our lives, to deeply within our hearts accept that our relationship is based on a higher principle than either of us. Because the nature of the mind is sometimes we like each other and sometimes we don't like each other. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're angry. The ego is very flickering, and the mind is even more flickering, and the senses are quite flickering also. So if our relationship is based on these superficial principles, then our relationship is very superficial. It's without much substance. Therefore, we have to focus on the higher principle, the sacred principle, the divinity that has brought us together. And to somehow or other adjust and harmonize whatever may come in our lives according to that higher principle. My Gurudev told a story at one marriage ceremony that I found to be extremely instructive, even though I've never been married. But I've seen a lot of people that are married. I'd like to share this with you. He tells a story of Mahatma Gandhi. Now, Mahatma Gandhi was the father pioneer of the modern age of ahimsa, or nonviolence. He was married, and he had a serious quarrel with his wife. They both became extremely emotional, and it came to the point where Mahatma Gandhi shouted at his wife, "Get out of my house. Get out from here." So she cried, and she left the house. This is pretty serious. Mahatma Gandhi, he was the inspiration of Martin Luther King and so many other people for nonviolent change within society. He was against fighting, but he's fighting with his wife. So that's the nature of marriage. If Mahatma Gandhi can't keep peace in his house, don't think you'll be able to do it. He was much more experienced in power than any of us. Yes? So sometime later, he came out of his house and he saw his wife sitting on the curbside. And he said, "What are you doing here? You were supposed to go somewhere else." And she looked up at him and said, "I have nowhere else to go." And then he smiled and said, "All right, just forget it. Let's go inside." And that was the end of it. So my Gurudev explained, this is the solution for most every problem in marriage. These two words, forget it. Because whatever problems you have, based on circumstances, based on your two different egos, because the ego is such a thing. when two egos are living so close to each other, there has to be some times where there is disagreements, conflicts. It's natural. But they're not important. What is important is the sacred principle of why we're together. As partners in life, to help each other to become pure. To help each other to practice yoga. Yoga of life. The higher principle is to help each other to love God. To help each other to be instruments of God's love for the world. If that's why we're married, and to love and protect each other for that purpose, then nothing else is important. Most divorces these days are based on things that really aren't important. But if you don't focus on a higher principle, less important things become very important, at least apparently. If you see the whole picture, then little parts can be adjusted. But if you don't see the whole picture, one little part can create chaos. I remember in my own life, when I first came to live in an ashram, there was a person. He came after me, but he became my authority. And there was nothing about him that I liked. And even more important, there was nothing about me that he liked. And I was thinking, if I wasn't here in this ashram, this is the kind of person I would never want anything to do with. And I knew that he felt exactly the same way about me. But somehow or other, we were milking cows together. We had to milk the same cow, one on each side of the cow. And despite our differences, we both accepted in our hearts that the higher principle of our relationship is to help each other to love God, to serve humanity, to follow the path that will purify our heart. That's the higher principle. And everything else we just tolerate somehow or other. And because we focused on that principle, within about a year, we became best of friends for the rest of our lives. We were so absolutely loyal, faithful, and helpful to each other. And I saw no faults in him anymore, and he saw no faults in me. Now, this isn't marriage, but we were milking the same cows together. So we were together serving practically all day, every day. And in my parents' life, I remember when I was about 8 years old, they were considering divorce. My mother said to me, she was putting her mascara on in front of a mirror, and I was sitting on her bed watching her. I thought that was really a strange thing, women putting on mascara. So I was watching, and she said to me, very seriously, she said, everyone likes your father, and everyone likes me, but we no longer like each other. So we're going to separate. And I cried. It was very painful, just the thought of it. Some hours later, my father came home from work. I knew my mother was going to discuss this with him. So he went in their bedroom. They closed the door. And I was so disturbed that I secretly put my ear against the door to hear what they were saying. And my mother said, this is what happened. He was crying. And I heard them both say, for the rest of our lives, we will be together because this is what's best for our children. They never separated. I saw some years later, I never saw in my life at that time any two people that loved each other so much. They were so, it was deep. It wasn't about romance, because romance, you know, can come and go. In fact, it does. It wasn't just about, you know, personality, complementary views on things. It was about a heart-to-heart sense of a responsibility to each other for a higher principle. And because they weathered through those difficulties together for a higher principle, which is their children, they actually, God awarded them with deep affection and love for each other. Now, higher principle than even children is the principle of God, the principle of our vows before the Lord to help each other to become pure, to become enlightened within our lives. That's the highest principle there is. And that's why traditionally marriages of all different societies, people take vows in a spiritual place because it's consecrated for that value. We are consecrated together as a partnership in the service of the Supreme, of the Divine. And whenever some conflict comes, take Mahatma Gandhi's advice and just say to each other, forget it. It's not important. The only thing that's really important is the higher principle. What is a diamond? The diamond is the queen of all jewels. A diamond is nothing but a piece of coal that's under pressure for millions of years. And gold is purified when it's put in fire, the king of metals. This is Mother Nature speaking to us. This is wisdom. That by faithfully passing through the good times and the bad times, the easy times and the hard times, with each other and for each other, for this higher value. That's what actually marriage is meant to make us spiritually perfect. And it will do that if we just understand the yoga of marriage. From a spiritual perspective, there's something more than my husband and my wife. Mark and TJ, Amy and Melinda is not just your wife. That's there. But a higher principle is this is a daughter of God. This is God's personal, deeply beloved daughter that is being entrusted in your care. And how you treat her is how God will receive you. How you speak to her, how you act to her, how you protect. And protection, as was said, there's three levels. There's physical, emotional, and spiritual. To give that protection, to be forgiving to each other, and to honor your spouse as God's property, God's gift, is how you will make spiritual progress. And Amy and Melinda, it's not that Mark and TJ is just your husband. It's God's beloved child. entrusted in your care to protect, to be faithful, to encourage. And if you see each other in this light, marriage really is yoga. Your relationship is yoga, in essence. And you'll make great spiritual progress. Feelings of affection may come and go, but foundational, there should be respect. Respect for each other and care for each other. And through that, affection can grow into actual deep love connected to the soul. Physically, we care for each other by providing the necessities, depending on the particular nature of your occupation and your relationship, you're providing housing and clothing and health and other types of physical needs. But emotional care is very essential. This is where usually marriages really could go off track. We have a responsibility to each other, to make each other happy. The husband should, it, responsibility of the husband and the wife to make the spouse happy, to help provide a fulfilling life. And everyone needs appreciation, and everyone needs encouragement. So many ladies come to me and say, my husband just doesn't care about me. He doesn't like anything I do. And then I go to the husband, I say, you know, do you care about her? He said, yes, of course. Do you like what she does? Yes, I love what she does. Well, she doesn't, do you ever tell her? He said, why should I tell her? She should know. One tip that I've experienced is, unless you're really on an astral transcendental platform, your spouse is not going to know what you're feeling unless you tell them. If cook a good meal, even my mother and father, I learned a lot watching them. Maybe that's why I'm a Swami. But my mother would say, I cook 3 hours every night. Your father doesn't even like it. I asked my father, do you like it? He said, I love it. I said, well, why, did you ever tell her? Thought about it. Well, I think I did, but maybe I didn't. But she should know. I said, she doesn't know. She'll never know. Communication is so important. Sometimes in marriage, we can communicate with everybody except the person we're living with. That communication, honest communication, where we really do express our appreciation for each other, express our affection for each other, and express it in such a way that we encourage each other. It's very critical for a proper relationship. Marriage shouldn't be just something that we're tolerating somehow or other because we took vows. It should be something very dynamic, very flowing, and very real, and very connected to the divine, where the struggles are not just depressing, the struggles are spiritual challenges that we have to meet together. And every time you overcome those challenges, you come to a higher spiritual platform. And by following marriage in this way, it's the path of perfection. We have the example of Ram and Sita. Am I speaking too long? It's all right. Ram and Sita are considered not only avatars of the Supreme Godhead, but they appeared in this world in such a way to teach by their example the ideal behavior of human beings. And since time immemorial, in India, Sita is considered the exemplary model ideal wife and Ram husband. Now, what happened at the end? That's another question which we discussed at the yoga studio. But well, let's talk about the beginning. That was something very, very divine and beautiful. Ram was banished to the forest for 14 years. He told Sita that you please stay here under the care of my mother and father, and I'll be back in 14 years. Sita said, I'm coming with you. He said, not possible. You're a princess. Your whole life you've lived in beautiful palaces. If you come with me, you'll be living on the ground under trees. You've wore the most beautiful silks. If you come with me, you'll be wearing the barks of trees. You've been eating the finest meals. In the forest, there's just raw herbs and whatever fruits we happen to find in the trees. And you've been protected on all sides. In the forest, there's snakes and there's scorpions and there's lions and there's tigers and there's all kinds of wicked people. Mosquitoes. And it's very cold in the winter and very hot in the summer. You have to stay home. Sita said, for me to be with you in hell would be like heaven. To be with you, to be without you in heaven would be worse than hell. This was her dedication. Ram was still trying to dissuade her. And ultimately she said, when I got married to you, my father made a promise, which your temporary fathers just made the same promise. My father made a promise that through hard and easy, through prosperity or poverty, I would be with you. Ram, you cannot make my father a liar. I'm coming with you. And she came. And she endured all those things on the basis of that dedication to each other. Now in India, every husband likes his wife to be like Sita, but very few husbands want to be like Ram. But it has to be both ways. What was Ram's faithfulness? What was his dedication? When Sita was kidnapped by Ravana, you all know the story? When Sita was kidnapped by Ravana, Ram, he was so beautiful and so handsome. There would have been millions of beautiful princesses who would have been loved to be his wife. But Ram searched through the forest for a year for Sita. And ultimately, for Sita's welfare, he fought an entire world war just to give happiness and protection to his wife. Now, this may seem extreme, but models are usually extreme. It's the principles that the two of them embodied that, according to the scriptures, are the direction they're giving to each other. This type of dedication based on the higher principle of devotion to God, devotion to each other, devotion to Dharma, and to be an example for humanity. The four of you are wonderful, effulgent, dynamic people. And there's so much that the world needs from you. And when two people come together for such a sacred person, then the power of both of you becomes increased significantly in what you can do to help the troubled world today. I've only met all of you very recently, but from what I see and what I hear, I'm so very, very impressed and so grateful to have relationship with you. Mark, very soft heart, very sensitive person, very open-minded, very compassionate, seeking something deeply spiritual in his life. I want to thank you very much for being who you are. And Amy, very dynamic spiritual person, very soft heart, very caring for the welfare of others. She went to a somewhat isolated place, Carmel, New York. I'm sure nobody except people from Carmel, New York ever heard of the place. But she started a yoga studio and became dynamic yoga studio, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students. So she's become so highly respected in the whole community. And it's not just based on business principles. It's based on an ideal. The ideal of actually really trying to help people's life by bringing them spiritual harmony and upliftment. We're very proud of you and very honored to know you. And my sincerest heartfelt prayer is the two of you can really have a relationship that will bring about not only deep, deep fulfillment in your lives, but it will bring you both closer to your own essence, your own soul, and to God. And you could do that divine will, the instruments of that divine will in your combined efforts. And I have great confidence that this prayer will be fulfilled. TJ, very sweet, very simple, very competent in whatever he puts his mind to, has a deep spiritual yearning, loves to read Ramayana, Mahabharata, and other Indian scriptures, very much likes to chant the holy names of Krishna. Wonderful man. And everybody I know that knows you has very great love and respect for you. Expert at touching hearts. And Melinda, what can I say about Melinda? She's just a very competent lady. She owns her own spa where there's massages and all other things. And very soft heart. Very devotional, very kind, and also is really longing and yearning for spiritual experience and wanting to do something wonderful for the world. I hope from my heart of hearts and I pray that your relationship will be a glorious contribution to the world and that you will bring each other real happiness and real love. In your relationships with each other, understand that marriage is so sacred. How you treat your spouse is very much how God is going to, is how you treat God. And if you remember that, forgiveness, humility, adjustment, everything's very practical and possible on the basis of this ideal. Martin Luther King said, if you don't have something you're willing to die for, you have nothing meaningful to live for. In marriage, the relationship becomes deeply fulfilling and meaningful when we're actually willing to die for each other. And live for each other. And with the name of God, we can transcend all lesser distractions. So I am very much grateful to the four of you for coming together and for including all of us. Do you all agree? I sincerely request all the assembled people who are here, from your heart of hearts, to sincerely pray that the Lord will bless them, inspire them, and empower them to be happy together and to make others happy also. So let us all pray. And let us all express our prayer by raising our arms and loudly chanting, Hari Bol. Thank you very much. Raghunath Prabhu.
I'd just like to say I'm honored to have all four of you on this trip. And Amy and Mark together are an incredible couple. And what you've created in Carmel, New York is a sanctuary for so many people. And may this union grant so many more people shelter. I'm very inspired by both of you. Thank you. And TJ and Melissa, Melinda, I'm sorry, Melinda, you guys have been a great blessing in my life. And since I've known both of you, it's only been a short time, I've seen you guys blossom so much. It's so inspiring. I'm so inspired by watching both of you. I'm very honored to be with you. And I can see you two just really changing the world. Because you've changed so much. Everyone you touch, you guys touch so many people.
Thank you, Maharaj, for giving your valuable time here and yes, some instructions. We all are proceeding down now, downstairs in the Porsche for the further rituals will be performed the yagya down. So we'll all proceed.